WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
These past few years have been tough for Chicago theaters, but is that starting to change? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The performing arts hasn't seen the same turnout it once had before the pandemic, and fewer ticket sales has led to, unfortunately, scaling back many productions. To shore up this vibrant art scene, the Bayless Family Foundation has awarded over $600,000 in grants to four Chicago theaters: Definition Theater in Hyde Park, the Chicago Children's Theater in the West Loop, the Remy Bumpel Theater Company in North Center, and Timeline Theater Company in Uptown. I had the chance to sit down with the artistic directors of those last two to hear more about what projects these grants will allow them to pursue and how theater is adapting and changing in 2024. PJ Powers is with Timeline, and Jacqueline Russell is from the Chicago Children's Theater. And I started with a congrats and by asking simply, how are you feeling? Here's Jackie.
Just so honored, so grateful, really good timing, all of it.
You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Jackie and I were talking just before coming on air about the state of mid-sized theaters, but both of which we run, and how much it has changed and dwindled in recent years. So the Bayless family is making a huge, huge impact.
Yeah. Let's talk about how much each of the theaters were awarded. So PJ Timeline and Definition both received what's called a stepping stone grant of $180,000 over 3 years. So start off with what this investment means for Timeline, PJ.
It's huge, and the fact that it is a multi-year grant really, really helps, because it is about planning for sustainability and planning for growth. And as Timeline is preparing to move into the first home of our own ever in our 27 years, opening
another congratulations.
Thank you. Opening a new home in Uptown. This allows us to really build our capacity towards that and pay for a lot of the, you know, maybe less sexy things behind the scenes, but
yeah,
operational
tell us
about
that. What are you funding?
We're funding really bringing a lot of our financial systems and operations into the 21st century, trying to just modernize a lot of those things and streamline them so that once we are in our new home, you know, we can be much more effective. You know, things like payroll and accounting.
Yeah.
That maybe are not as flashy as costumes and beautiful
but
sets.
But oh so important.
Oh so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned that move. I mean, what's the reason behind it? And what'll be different about this new location?
Well, so we have rented space in a 110-year-old church building in Lakeview for the past 25 years. And we've been busting at the seams in that space for a very long time. So finally, we're going to build a home of our own and put down roots in Uptown and really build a space for community gathering and education in addition to being a theater.
Yeah, and similar sentiments to what PJ just mentioned, Jackie. Timeline's managing director told Block Club that its funding is, quote, unsexy but deeply necessary. What would you add to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to raise money for things like this. And you appreciate when there are funders who get it, who really understand the need to grow capacity, and that sometimes those things aren't flashy, but they're so necessary to sustainability.
Mm-hmm. The Chicago Children's Theater and the Remy Bumpo Theater Company were both awarded what's called a Signal Grant. Now, this is a single payment of $100,000, and it's a grant that's meant to respond to the needs of the community as well as help with operating costs. So similar idea there. Now, what is that need that you're working to meet specifically, Jackie?
So one of the things that we really saw coming out of the pandemic was incredible demand and need for more programming in Chicago public schools to provide more access to arts. And specifically, our work has become a really special program that is called ROAR. It's Trauma-Informed Arts Residencies. And we've been working with Lurie Children's Hospital Center for Childhood Resilience to develop this programming that we feel is really in response to a lot of this, the chronic stress and trauma that we see in our environment today that children are experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so we find that there are just so many schools that are asking for this kind of work, and what we really have needed to do is to expand our teaching staff, our administration, in order to meet that need.
Yeah, let's dig into that. So you're talking about the Residencies of Arts and Resilience, or ROAR program. Talk more about how that works and how you as a theater, how you do theater with a trauma-informed lens.
Yeah, you know, it seemed so... basically, it made so much sense to me, having done a lot of work already in the autism community, mm-hmm. where we have a program called the Red Kite Project, and we really found that using theater as really an intervention for children with communication needs and different interpersonal issues, we just found that theater artists are just incredible in those settings. And I began to think about what they could do for children that were experiencing chronic trauma and stress. And our partners at Lurie Children's Hospital, they were saying, oh, the best thing for kids in these situations is resiliency, and it's hope, and it's joy, and mm-hmm. it's creativity, and all the things that we're already about as theater makers. And so it's really getting a better understanding of mental health needs, and also taking our experience as arts and creators and really bringing that into classrooms and spaces where children might for the first time really get to experience not only making theater, but also like great interaction and a lot about self-expression and about labeling and understanding emotions and what's happening to them. And ultimately, this work can lead to a lot of self-advocacy and agency. And what we want to do is get them really young and help them as they grow up and become better citizens and better contributors to our community.
And what response are you hearing from the kids and their families?
It's been incredible. I mean, it's, you know, we knew we were on to something, and we found that we were having educators say to us, oh, I've had that child in my classroom for 6 months. It's the first time we've heard them talk in a group. And just the impact we know that the arts can have on children,
yeah.
but especially children that are, again, in fairly critical situations is really powerful. And, you know, we actually took some of this work down to Texas and worked with some families from Uvalde after the shooting there. Mm-hmm. And it was really very powerful to be with those families and to partner with social workers who really specialize in trauma and figure out like how together we can create programming that's really going to be impactful and, yeah. and helpful.
PJ, you were nodding your head there. Say more about what you think something like the theater and the arts
yeah.
can do for kids.
You know, Timeline also has an education program called our Living History Program. And since all of Timeline shows explore history and really make connections between past and present, we go into CPS high schools and, you know, go into social studies classes and history classes and civics classes and tie what they're studying in class with the stories on stage. Right now we have a play called Notes from the Field that is about the school-to-prison pipeline. It's about the education system. And, you know, hearing responses from actual CPS students, how mm-hmm. they respond to it. And I was nodding my head because I also have lost count of the number of times we hear from a CPS teacher at the end of one of our residencies, them say, I've never heard that kid speak before. And they were the one raising their hand, jumping up, wanting to perform a scene.
That's impact.
With a professional actor. That's touching kids in just very different, inspiring ways.
So since the pandemic, we've heard and we've talked a lot about how the performing arts still struggle when it comes to attendance and audience. How are things now? Tell me they've gotten better, PJ.
they have. And, you know, I think a lot of ink has been written about. And there's data that shows that attendance, you know, isn't what it was. Subscriptions aren't what they were, and donations aren't. But I don't think that is the full story. You know, there still is a great vibrancy to the Chicago theater community that is unlike any place else in this country. Yeah. And, you know, one of the other recipients of this grant, Definition Theater, who's not with us today, but they're another great success story. Just like Timeline, they're preparing to build the first home of their own in Woodlawn.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that story is worth trumpeting as much as, you know, the headlines of, oh, audiences aren't coming back.
Right. And this grant is just oh so timely, right? What have you all been doing to address that pandemic lull, Jackie?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was just talking before with PJ about how as soon as everything opened back up again at the end of the shutdown, we just had parents just desperate to get their kids into programs. Our education programs just really took off, I think, because for most of us, we recognize that theater really can help children with those interpersonal skills and to suddenly be away from screens and to be interacting with each other and taking turns and collaborating and all those things that you get when you're putting on a show together. And so we've really found that suddenly education started leading the way for us. Mm-hmm. And the classes and camps were just filling up, and we did start putting on shows again and really finding people coming to the theater again, because that shared experience that no one was getting to have during the pandemic, people were really seeking that out. And I think initially it was slow. People were afraid. But I think now there's a recognition that it's safe. We can be back together again. It's definitely impacted how hard it is to put shows on. Things are more expensive now. We need a lot more personnel. There's still a lot of times when you have to potentially cancel a performance because of a COVID outbreak.
Mm-hmm. And
so these are things that we're dealing with that are kind of still with us, but we are seeing people are back. And if anything, it's really just trying to make sure that we can meet the demand, especially because at the Children's Theater, we're doing field trips. We're really serving schools during the week.
I mean, you've kept going.
And we've kept going.
Despite all of what we just discussed, right?
Yes, we did. And during the pandemic, we did a lot of online work. And so we were creating videos. We were doing a lot of teaching. And I think that also made our transition back to in-person a lot easier. We did have to cut back on staffing. So now staffing is, I think, been one of the larger challenges.
Yeah.
I think especially those teaching artists that are so in demand. We really have to keep recruiting them. And that's one of the nice things about this grant is we're going to be adding more bilingual educators. We're getting a lot of requests for teachers to work in Spanish as well as in Ukrainian. There's just a lot of new children in our city.
The possibilities are endless now.
They are. And so we're just gearing up so that we can serve more of them.
And what are some of the dreams that you have right now for Timeline, PJ?
Well, the dreams is...
I mean,
is,
new location.
Yeah, finally bringing this...
That's
this
being realized.
...long-standing dream to life in Uptown. And to, you know, again, create a space that's more than just a theater. That really is a gathering place in that community. So a space that's activated morning, noon, and night with a cafe and bar and exhibit gallery and places to come and hang out and feel welcome, whether you have a ticket to see a play or you're wandering off the street, you know, not even knowing what Timeline is yet.
Love that. Well, just about a minute left with you both, but I'd love to hear what you all have coming up. You first, PJ.
Until the end of March, we have a play called Notes from the Field that is by the great Anna DeVere Smith. Again, it's about the education system. I'm just reading the headlines in our city yesterday about, you know, police being taken out of CPS schools. That is a very much a topic of this play, and it's a really fascinating, powerful piece.
Yeah, And Jackie?
So next up for us is that wonderful musical, A Year with Frog and Toad, which is just one of the best set of children's books you could ever read. And then this is a fantastic musical, and we're really excited to bring it back to the stage at our theater in the West Loop.
Awesome. That is Jacqueline Russell, who is the co-founder and artistic director of the Chicago Children's Theater, and PJ Powers, who's the artistic director of Timeline Theater Company. Thank you both so much, and congrats again.
Thank you, and thanks to the Bayless family.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. For more interviews on the news and the arts, make sure to subscribe to the Reset Podcast wherever you're listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. I look forward to talking with you again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.